Well, it's football season, isn't it? Anybody been to the Lions training camp? Or you seen one of these guys? These guys are monsters, aren't they? You seen one of these linemen or these football guys? Anybody seen them in person? They're big, aren't they? It is amazing. Can you imagine getting hit by one of these guys? I mean, the force that they would hit you with would just turn you into, you know, mincemeat or whatever. I remember Steve Toigo told me that he played football for the thriving powerhouse of Lincoln Park, the Rail Splitters. You know, he was the star quarterback there in the 70s. He went to University of Kentucky and played football. And he told me that one of his first plays at quarterback, he went dropped back and this guy just came through the line and crushed him, like knocked him out almost. And he's on the ground trying to catch his breath. And the guy's in his face going, "Welcome to NCAA football, you know, whatever." And he said, these guys are big and they've got power. But, you know, tonight I want to talk to you about somebody who is infinitely, infinitely more powerful than any offensive lineman could ever block somebody or a defensive lineman could break through. And tonight I want to speak of our Almighty God. Who is God? He is the Almighty God. Tonight, would you turn with me just to one passage? I give you the handout, which has got a lot of verses on there, but one passage is kind of, to me, a little bit of a linchpin for everything, and it's in Jeremiah 32, Jeremiah 32, verse 17. There's three verses there that just kind of give a little bit of an outline of the session tonight. But I thought about, well, we could assign different verses to people and have you read different verses, but I just thought, well, we'll just put them all on the handout. And I don't know if it'll help you follow tonight, but it'll at least give you some things you can take home, put it in your Bible, and maybe encourage you today as you consider who God is and that our God is the Almighty God. Jeremiah 32, 17, 18, and 19 are the kind of the verses I want us to just use as kind of set the scene for tonight, and then we'll look at a number of verses on our handout and hopefully encourage us. But the fact of the matter is, God is our Almighty God, and do we really know Him? You know, my prayer for whatever God's given me left on this earth and in my ministry is that I would know God, that I would worship Him, and that I would do His will with however many days God gives me. And I just wonder, as we gather tonight, maybe just as a review, it's probably a review, but maybe it helps us to deepen our commitment to what we know about God. Those who know God, it's almost like Pastor Orne's favorite verses, he reminds us from Daniel, those who know their God do what? Do great things for Him. And if we'll know God, really know Him, then we'll worship Him with what He deserves, and I pray that we'll do His will. So tonight, in the few minutes that we have together, I want to encourage you, but we look first at Jeremiah 32, 16, verse 17, sorry. And I would just, what I want to show you is three things that form an outline. 17, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you, who shows loving kindness to thousands, but repays the iniquity of fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. O great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name, great in counsel and mighty in deeds, whose eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, given to everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his deeds." You can see on the handout tonight that I think this passage just gives us a little bit of outline that I want us to follow, and that is really three things about God. That he is powerful. And I just would say three things. Number one, His power is awesome. His power is awesome. And maybe that's a weak word that I use too often, but it is awesome. God's power is awesome. And we see that even in verse 17. "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your," I love that phrase, "your outstretched arm." Okay. God's power is awesome. And you see that on the first page. And then you see that God's power is appropriate. His power is appropriate. In other words, how would you use power if you had incredible power like that? You know, if I had it, I might use it to my own advantage. I probably would, right? But you know what God does because of who He is? he uses his power appropriately for who he is. And that is, he is great and he is good. And we'll see that. And it says in verse 18, who shows what? Loving kindness to thousands. He shows loving kindness, but what does he as well do? He repays iniquity. And so God's appropriate with his power. He does what a God should do. And then the third thing, and you see it on the back, I believe, is God's power is accessible. And that is that God's power is available, that he gives his strength to those who follow Christ. And we just want to see, I put a list of about eight things that God gives to us in his power. And again, I hope these encourage you tonight. So let's look at these things. Okay, I see in the passage we just said, verse 19, great in counsel and mighty in deeds, whose eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, giving. Okay, God's power is accessible. All right. So my hope for tonight is simply to take you to a number of passages of scripture to remind you of who God is and his power and encourage you to draw close to him. Well, I say, first of all, God's power is awesome. God is almighty. He's the almighty God. When it speaks of almighty God, he is the one who is over everything. He's the extreme of all creation. 1 Chronicles 29:11, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in heaven and on earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. He's the ultimate. He's the most extreme one of all creation. A God who can do all things according to his nature and purpose. He can do anything compatible with who he is. Job 42:2 says, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. And as we read before, nothing is too difficult for God. Jeremiah again, 32:17 says, nothing is too difficult for you. And where does God tell us most clearly about his power? It is seen in creation. Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, have been understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Nature is God's way of telling us of his power. He counts the number of the stars, it says in Psalm 147. He gives names to all of them. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. I mean, how big is God? How powerful is God? He created all the stars and he names them all. We see God's power in nature. March 20th, 1976 is a day that sticks vividly in my mind. March 20th, 1976. It was the day, or the evening, actually, of the West Bloomfield tornado. At 7:15, an F4 tornado touched down in Farmington Hills near Halstead Road in between 13 and 14 Mile Road. It cut a path 4 miles long and 350 yards wide right through that area. It was a Saturday night, and my family was planning to go to dinner at, of all places, Ponderosa Steakhouse. That was right on the corner of Orchard Lake Road and Maple Road. We decided to stay home that night because the weather wasn't looking that great. And we're thankful we stayed home because that really became ground zero of so much of the damage. In fact, there was one fatality in that tornado. It was a carload of teenage girls that the car actually got picked up by the tornado and thrown across the intersection, and one of the 15-year-old girls in the car was crushed and killed. That was the last time a stronger than F3 tornado has touched the metro Detroit area. Nature is powerful, isn't it? I mean, anybody driving down Dix yesterday about 6 or 7 o'clock, I was driving towards Southgate. And I looked behind me, and people were saying, there's a tornado, there's a tornado. They got it on their phone. Maybe somebody saw that on Facebook. It wasn't a tornado. It was just straight line winds. But it was so, I was driving along and my hat got flown off. I mean, my window's open. My hat goes flying off, almost out the other window. But yeah, that's nothing compared to what was faced out there. And you know what? In that F4 tornado, you know how strong God is? The scriptures talk about how God just could speak with his word. And that storm was calm right down. That's how powerful God is. God's power is amazing. And he can calm the fiercest storm simply with his word. God's power is awesome. Number two, God's power is appropriate. The display of God's power fits exactly who God says he is and what he says he would do. God is great and God is good. And we see the display of God's power and his greatness, his great power. And I just listed some of the things there. You can see we even thought about Jeremiah earlier and nature. It says, when he utters his voice, there's a tumult of waters in the heaven, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings out wind from his storehouses, Jeremiah 10:13. We think about his power over nature, his power over history. I mean, Daniel speaks of that, of men and angels, again, in Daniel 4:35. And we see God's power in his greatness and his power over death. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:14, now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his what? Power. God has power over these things. It shows his greatness. But God's power as well is seen in his goodness. And I just listed three things there, three categories there. Zephaniah 3:17, that was a passage that I haven't read Zephaniah a lot lately, but just today I was in Zephaniah reading this passage, and it's so practical for just the issues of our life. God is strong and he's kind. I mean, we sung that song then. I was thinking about that when we were singing the song. The Lord your God, Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will quiet you in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. That's our God. He's good. He's good with his power. He's truthful, powerful, righteous. 2 Corinthians 6:7. He's a God who has a word of truth. He has power, and he provides weapons of righteousness. And most clearly in our salvation, Ephesians 1:18-22 says, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ. Okay, and God does what? He provides salvation. That shows his goodness. So God is awesome. God is, he's what? He's appropriate. And I just want to encourage you tonight that God in his power is accessible. Now, I'll never forget when I was a kid, you know, we spent a lot of time in the car with my mom driving us back and forth. And I lived in Walled Lake, and my grandparents lived up M10, the lodge in Southfield. And I'll never forget my mom talking about this kind of truth about God's power and how we don't access it like we should. She says, we used to ride motorcycles out there. She says, can you imagine pushing your motorcycle all the way up the lodge freeway and get all the way to Grandma and Grandpa's house and you never tried to turn it on. And then at the last minute, you turn it on and you found out that you had this power in this motorcycle that you never took advantage of. And I was probably like 8 years old when I'm told that story. But it's just true. How many times, you know, when we get to heaven one day, and who knows what it will be exactly like, we can anticipate it. And God says, if you would just ask me, you have not because you ask not. If you just ask me, you know, I could have done so much more for your encouragement and my glory. And again, I don't know if that's what the conversation will be like, but we have access to a powerful God. Tonight, I want to encourage you in that you can approach him because you're in Christ. If you're trusting Christ tonight, you have access to a God who provides for you. So, again, Jeremiah 32 said that he's great in counsel and mighty in deeds that he gives. And I just want to list out maybe eight of these provisions that he gives for us. First and foremost, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. He provides a pardon for your sin. He provides forgiveness to you. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you. And that passage all about those who had habituated themselves to sin. They were slaves to sin. And Paul says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God in his power. So pardon for sin, progressive sanctification. Aren't you glad for Philippians 1:6? For I am confident of this very thing, that who has began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. God's going to finish what he started. He's strong enough to do that. He'll do that. He provides for our progressive sanctification. I say, thirdly, strength in the spiritual battles and life's difficulties. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Okay. I don't know if I had Isaiah. Do I have Isaiah in your handout? I had like five pages. And I had to crush them all down to, you know, front and back. So I don't know if I had Isaiah 40, 29 through 31 and 41, 10 in there. Okay, but you know, one of our favorite verses, my favorite verses, I was in a society. This was a society of verse, right? So we like that. But it says, they who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not get weary. God, it says, do not fear, for I am with you. I am the Lord your God. I will strengthen you. So, you know, sometimes life is difficult. And Ephesians 6:10 is in the middle of the spiritual battle verses, right? And what's our hope in that? That God gives us strength. What's that look like? You know, Ruth saying, God, help me to just be faithful. And then she's tempted. Ruth probably never faces them temptations. She's so angelic, right? Not like the person next to you, but anyway, Russo, angelic, you know. But whatever her challenges are, whatever your challenges are, you know, you face them, and the battle is, will I trust God and do the right thing, or will I go my own way? And God says he'll give us strength in the battle to please him and follow him. And then I just include this one next, strength and weakness, and then waiting for God's timing. Paul says in the middle of, you know, I've learned to be content with just a little bit or with a lot. And wherever you are, Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. God's power is perfected in what? In our weakness. If you feel weak tonight, God can give you strength to do what's right. I mean, I think of some of the people on the prayer list. I was just interacting with Jim Russell today. Jim's been through a lot. And what's our hope for him? God, help them just to know your strength. And his body's weak, but God, he can grow stronger in his spiritual walk every day. And what's our hope in that? That God gives strength. How strong is God? Does he have enough strength for you and for you and for you? And you? He's got enough strength for all of us. In fact, 2 Corinthians says it's overabounding. It's sufficient for all of us. God gives strength and weakness, and in times of waiting for his timing. God gives provisions for life and godliness. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do far exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us. 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And God gives us what we need in life to live life and to live a life in a godly way. Next, God gives protection in troublesome and dangerous times. I like this verse in Psalm 121, 5 through 8. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Does that mean we're never going to get hurt? That we'd never potentially face a martyr's death? No, but in that, God's going to be where? Right there with us, helping us with grace and strength to face that for his glory and our good. God gives protection. Nothing can happen to me. That's outside of God's plan for me. It doesn't make it easy, but it does give me confidence in it that God will protect me. Next, I think it's on your handout, power for witnessing and to see the lost converted. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. So I hope that encourages you as you pray for the lost, that God gives power. God can open the eyes of someone who is unsaved so that they might see who he is and trust Jesus. It is God's power by his outstretched arm, as it said in Jeremiah 32. And then I just include this one, that there's, I don't know if I said that funny, but it's possible hope. In other words, I had to start with a lead with a P, right? But you know, hope is possible. There's possible hope for you. It's not maybe. It's true. It's available. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can have hope. You can have peace. You can have joy, because God is there with his power in your life. Hope that encourages you tonight. Hope that wherever you are, that you can see that God is truly awesome. God's power is breathtaking. And it's appropriate. And it is truly accessible if you know Christ and you're following him. Got to throw a little Spurgeon in here every sermon or so. So I don't think this made the final cut on your list. If you email me, I'll give you the whole notes. I'll send you this PDF and you have my Spurgeon quotes. Listen to what Spurgeon says. If you believe in the littleness of God, you will ask but little. You will have but little. But enlarge your desires. Let your soul be stretched till they become wide as seven heavens. Even then ye shall not hold the whole of the great God, but ye shall be fitted to receive more largely out of his fullness. Ask him that he would give the heathen up unto Christ for his inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for his possession. For the scepter of Jehovah shall go forth, and the monarchy of Christ will be extended from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. So let's believe God. Let's be encouraged in who he is, and let's come to his throne boldly to ask for him to work for his glory and for our good. And tonight, I would be amiss if I didn't remind you that God's provision and his power is really reserved for those who are his children, who are trusting in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear from them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. Listen to what Jesus says. The thief comes only to seek, to steal, and to kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it, what? Abundantly. So ask God. If you're his child, ask him to show himself strong for his glory and for our good. If we're in Christ, we have an awesome opportunity with an access to the Almighty God. So what do we do with these truths? What do we do with these truths tonight? I'm just sharing you what I'm trying to do. Between Marsh and I, what we're trying to do with what we know about the awesomeness of God, we've been learning for the past few weeks. I just think about the C's of my prayer life. Three C's of my prayer life that I can do with this truth. Number one, that I would be more convinced of God's power this fall. That I would be more convinced that I see God's power is awesome and it is appropriate and it's available. That I'd be more convinced. God, help me to be more convinced of your power this fall. Number two, that I would be more consistent in acknowledging God's power and asking him to work in my life, in our life, and in our church. That'd be number one, convinced. Number two, consistent. And number three, that I'd be more clear in asking for specific ways for God to glorify himself, displaying his power in our lives and in our church, so that I would be more convinced, more consistent, and more clear. So maybe that encourages you to think about how you would know and worship God in a more powerful way this fall. Again, Spurgeon says this, it is not, canst thou work, O God, but it is, canst thou believe, O Christian? Thou hast a mighty arm, O God, but that arm is thy people's arm, for it is written, he is their arm every morning and their salvation every night. Come then with confidence, ye who have made a covenant with him by sacrifice, for this God is our God, and forever and ever he will help us. Yea, he will help us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. So tonight, we serve an awesome God with awesome power, and I hope that encourages you. And maybe you just stick those verses in the back of your Bible, add to them, help me, all right? You see something, help me, and I'll build up my list with you. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that you've revealed yourself. Certainly in nature, we see your power. But God, your word has clearly spelled out the things that we have looked at tonight, the provisions of your power, the purposes of your power. And God, that you are for us. Help every one of us to know Christ. I pray that everyone in this room is trusting Jesus for their salvation. And as believers, God, may we grow increasingly more convinced that of who you are. Help us to consistently, more consistently, come before you and clearly ask for you to work for your glory and our good, we pray, in our church and in our homes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.